The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the word of God.
In you and everybody that comes to this world is not created to come and loiter about and occupy space. Jesus cursed a fig tree because it was merely occupying space. God has not saved you to just be a member of the church and warm the pews. But God has saved you so you understand your purpose, embrace it, be challenged by it, and pursue it. Now, your purpose is basically the reason that God brought you here. And if you had to have any fulfillment in terms of your dreams and aspirations, it will come from your purpose. Your vision is a direct derivative of your purpose. Because if God has called you to be a pastor, you must do the things that enhance the calling upon your life. And when God has called you to be a professor in the university, then you must also understand the things that you must engage in so you become a university professor. If I want to become a mechanic and I am engaging in things that are for caterers, I have actually missed the purpose I was called. We may be doing some other small things along the side which may be income generating, or which may need specific needs, or meet specific needs rather, at certain points in time. But your main purpose must not be deviated from. Can I hear an amen? In the days of Jesus, while he was preaching for 3 days and three nights, and over 5,000 people followed him, they said 5,000 men. They didn't count the women and children. And therefore, they are estimated to be about 20,000. Jesus multiplied a few loaves of bread and fish, and they were blessed by it. When they finished, they decided to appoint Jesus as the minister of food and agriculture. But that would have reduced Jesus from the messianic office to a small area. So, meeting the needs of the people in terms of providing food was just an offshoot of the purpose. But the main purpose, you must keep track and not deviate from it. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? There are various things that may cause you to deviate from what God has called you to do. There are also certain things that may make you freeze and discontinue what you were doing. You shouldn't allow any of these things to affect you in any way. And I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 19, and we take our main text there from verses 1 through 9. 1 Kings chapter 19, I'm preaching on managing your setbacks in pursuit of purpose. So 1 Kings 19 says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with a sword." Verse 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more so if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he made himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals. Prophet Elijah ate a cake. I won't stop eating cakes. At least you can reduce the sugar level in a cake. I'm not a prisoner. Put your hands together. And a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Verse 8, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Well, we shall stop here and then continue with the message. Say amen to the reading of the word. Before we dilate on the text, I want to define this concept of setback. What is a setback? What is a setback? A setback is an event that delays your progress. You are in a hurry to achieve something. You have acquired some speed and momentum. Anything along the line that delays your progress is a setback. Number two, a setback is an event that seeks to reverse your progress, the progress that you have made. So it's not only an event that brings delay, but it's also an event that seeks to reverse the gains and the progress that you have made. In other words, a setback seeks that you will lose. If it's your profit, if it's your income, if it's your relationship, a setback seeks that you will lose it. Now, what are some of the setbacks that one can think about? The loss of a job, the loss of a business opportunity, a miscarriage, loss of a dear one, challenges in business, serious misunderstandings in relationships, breakup in relationships, separation, divorce, anxiety, depression, ill health, injury, and the list continues. So these are activities in life that have the capacity to somewhat affect your progress. So the first point we are making is that setbacks, one, bring delays. Number two, they seek to reverse your gains. And number three, setbacks intend to bring failure. I have enumerated some of the things that could affect one, you know, if you allow them to persist. The second main point in this message is that every successful person in life has faced a setback before. There is nobody in this life who has succeeded and achieved so much and risen to the higher heights of glory and has not experienced a setback. Now, if you arm yourself with the right understanding, you would realize that you are not only the one who goes through setbacks. In other words, setbacks are not unique to you, but they are common to everybody. There are some negative opportunities that come your way, which you must handle and deal with and sometimes manage so that you can get along. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? When you have lost a person, it brings pain, it brings disappointment, it can bring anger, it can bring trauma. If you can't bring the person back to life, then you have to manage your circumstances. So there are situations that we must have the understanding and the ability to manage. If you're in a relationship that was good, and you were married, and for 7 years things were fine, and the next 2 years things suddenly changed, and there was a downward trend, and you cannot do much about it in the short run, you have to learn how to manage your emotions. Learn how to manage your thoughts. Learn how to manage the way you relate until God brings the victory. Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? So every successful person in life has experienced a setback. And I'll start from the Bible. Right from Genesis chapter 1, when God was creating the world, the Bible says, the world that he created was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. We are told God is an excellent God, so he doesn't do things, you know, which are not perfect. The Bible says all that God has done is perfect. So something must have happened to the creation of God initially between Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and verse 2. So something must have interfered with the excellent creation of God that it brought a reversal in progress to such an extent that the Bible says that, and the earth was without form, it was amorphous, it was shapeless, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, symbolizing something demonic upon the face of the deep. And God had to deal with this by speaking faith-filled words that let there be light. In the original, it says, light be. In other words, prosperity be. Oh, come on, you're not saying amen. Deliverance be. Oh, salvation be. Divine direction to you be. Promotion be. Oh, the amen is weak. Ah. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, God experiences another setback. You remember in verse 26 of Genesis 1, he says, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. And when God concluded matters on the seventh day, he said what God had created was good. When man was created, he said it was very good. That means it was excellent. There was no fault with it. Then there was this devil in the garden who came creeping. Oh, he was walking before he started creeping after the curse. So he came, had interaction with Eve, and Eve fell to the devil. Then she influenced Adam, and Adam also fell. And the two of them violated the word of God, and God appeared. And their nature of purity and their opportunity to live in eternity in righteousness was suddenly taken away. A nature of eternal death was inherited by them. And a nature prone to sin was also inherited by them. And when God came, he was disappointed. But look at what he did. He began to prophesy and say that you shall bruise his heel. That means, Satan, you will touch Christ, you will crucify him, but he shall crush your head at the end of the day, and victory shall be restored unto humanity. So between Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 3, God has experienced two setbacks at the beginning. Now look at the first family, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Oh, God thought that he had created a family that would live in unity like the Trinity. Then something occurred. Two people offered sacrifices, Cain and Abel. God accepted Abel's, rejected Cain's, and Cain, out of anger, slew his brother. Another disappointment to God. Can you imagine your family, God forbid, your secondborn picks a knife and kills the firstborn? So God faced setbacks. And if you pick the major Bible characters, you would realize they all had situations of difficulty. Joshua, in the book of Joshua, went to Ai to fight them. Then in the course of it, 36 Israelites died. In Israel, you don't die like that in war. 36 people died. And they were defeated. So Joshua, who was led by God, and he took Israel into the promised land, is in his first battle, he was defeated. But he had to learn what was the causative factor for the defeat, so that it wouldn't subsequently occur in his life. I'll give you another example. David and his men went to settle in Ziklag. David and the men of war went out on an expedition, probably to look for food. On their return, some Amalekites had raided their camp, looted their property, taking away all their belongings, and carried away into captivity their wives and children. Can you imagine? I mean, this is something that is serious. But David had to learn how to go and fight back, deliver the people, take back the goods, and take back additional goods of the Amalekites, punishing them twice for that. The same David, in the career of his kingship, there was a fracture in his kingship caused by his son Absalom, who rose up to overthrow him. And David had to make his abode in the wild for some time until God restored him. Naomi is another example. She left Bethlehem, Judah, and went to the land of the Moabites, settled there with her husband Elimelech, and they had children, Mahlon and Chilion. Mahlon and Chilion found themselves what Moabite women for wives. In the course of events, the two sons of Naomi died, and her husband also died. What a setback. But God will lead Naomi back, as Ruth refuses to leave her. And God will come and restore them and integrate the name of Ruth even into the genealogy of Christ. There are setbacks, but there are also springbacks. Oh, somebody must put their hands together. Israel as a nation were there one day when some Babylonians came around. The Babylonians took their goods, took some vessels away, and took the Israelites captive to be slaves. So they disengaged them from their livelihood, their source of their livelihood, and then they started a new life in a strange country without the opportunity to worship where the temple of God was. What a disaster. What a catastrophe. But God had purposes of restoring Israel as a nation. And it will come to pass that men like Daniel, when they read the book and understood that the time of their restoration was come, will seek the face of God. And God will command their captors to release them, that they will be reunited and come back to the land of their birth. So the second point I'm making in this message is that every person in life who is successful at one time or the other face some setbacks. And I've gone through the scriptures to establish that. Take Jesus Christ. Jesus one day called his disciples and they jumped into a boat. And he said, let's get to the other side. But in the course of the journey, the Bible says there was a storm. And that's what Jesus, he was fast asleep. Try as the disciples did to empty the boat of the water that was pouring abundantly into it, it was to no avail. Eventually they had to wake Jesus up. And Jesus had to say, peace be still. There was a setback in the travel, but God restored them. They didn't perish in the middle of it. They got to the other side. I prophesy to you that you will not die midstream. You will work hard to the end by the grace of God. Having established that even God had setbacks, then who are you? As a child of God, not to experience setbacks. I'm not asking you to go and beg setbacks to come to you. But in your quest to achieve something to the glory of God, you'll be faced with that. Apostle Paul said, I wanted to come over to you to minister the gospel, but Satan hindered me. In other words, Apostle Paul, if it was kind times, he would have needed a visa for the US or for somewhere in Europe, and Satan blocked him. The third main point I want you to look at is that there is a purpose for setbacks. If God allows something, then there's a reason for it. And if you understood the reason, it won't cause you to be disturbed. So there is a purpose. Setbacks have an importance. Number one, a setback is a necessary step toward your ultimate goal. You started school. I'm sure it wasn't all the class exams. It wasn't all the missed semesters in the higher institution. And it wasn't all the final exams that you got above the minimum mark. I'm sure in class one you had some one over over something. I'm sure your teacher drew a big zero and put eyes and nose and lips on top of the zero and said, see me. But somehow, by the grace of God, here you are. Oh, I didn't hear any. Here you are. Here you are. You finished that step and went to the next step and finished that step and went to the next step. So, setbacks are a necessary step toward your ultimate goal. Number two. Setbacks give you an opportunity to build resilience in your character and find new ways to approach subsequent challenges. Setbacks give you an opportunity to build resilience. resilience, like resilience. Resilience. And find new ways to approach a challenge. Underline the word resilience, because I will come back to it so you understand it very well. Number three, a setback gives you an opportunity to reassess and re-strategize your life and make the relevant adjustments so you can relaunch. I'll take it again. Setbacks, they give you an opportunity to reassess and re-strategize. When you're assessing yourself, you are looking at your strengths, your weaknesses, you are looking at your opportunities, etc. You're looking at what you can do. You see that mathematics is not your area, so science may not be your area, but it doesn't mean that there is no area for you. There is an area for you, but in the scheme of academia, they will always add mathematics and integrated science and social studies so that you are not one way in your knowledge. Because even if you did a program in the field of arts, humanities, and you qualify to work with an international organization, you must be able to calculate and work out the expenses you made as against the interest you received, so that you can account for the monies that was given you. If you have no knowledge in calculation, you will be an embarrassment to the United Nations. So it gives you opportunity to reassess yourself and re-strategize. You look at the way to go about it, so that you make the relevant adjustments and relaunch yourself. Number four, setbacks provide you with an opportunity to be grateful for the mercies of God, the kindness of God, which have sustained you in the midst of the chaos. Setbacks provide you with an opportunity to be grateful. Grateful to God for the mercies which He has shown to you in sustaining you in the midst of the adversities. If you have never been hungry before, you won't appreciate it when you have food on your table. I used to have a roommate in the university, and whenever we were going to eat, it was at that time that Somalia was in crisis, that a British journalist had to go and report, and through his, you know, news feature or documentary, he was able to raise millions of pounds sterling to go and support the people in Somalia. So anytime we start to eat and we prayed to God before we started eating, he would turn to me and call me with a certain name that you don't want to know and say that, remember Somalia. In other words, they have nothing to eat, but you and I have something to eat. Clap well. I want everybody to clap well. When you have been through crisis and you have food, you don't waste it. And you don't let your children waste the food. Jesus didn't waste the remnants of the bread and the fish. They gathered the fragments and got 12 baskets. If you go to a party or to a buffet and you serve yourself, be measured in what you take. Oh. I remember that three of us went. I took two pastors for breakfast. I have an annual ritual with them, and these pastors are from another church, just to encourage them and to make them know that somebody accepts them and remembers them. So when we went, one of them had traveled, you know, a little around the world, so he was used to buffet. But the other was a purely local guy like me. So I decided to take him around so that we could start with a few things in the beginning, whether it was a piece of bread, a piece of cake, some Cornish, whatever it is. And when you pick that and come back, you pick that and go to your table, you finish, and then you go for the next thing. Whether it was baked beans, sausages, you know, fried eggs, sunny side up, whatever you wanted. But when I took him around, he acted like he knew. Then he took a plate. Then I saw him take the cakes, the pieces of bread, and then he took the cheese croissant and all that. Then apart from that, he went to add the baked beans and the other things. Then apart from that, he added rice. Oh, Masukataya. Picked some chicken, put it on the side, and his plate was overflowing. I'm going to eke any name, so ni ni, because ni ni in shwishi. When it came, because we were in an air-conditioned environment, the wind blew over it, and the food became cold, and he couldn't eat it. And there he sat. We took a photograph of the remnants of the food, and we have teased him up to date. Now, what am I saying? I am simply saying that we should be grateful to God. If you didn't have clothing and God gave you some clothes, learn how to manage them. Don't wear it dirty, leave it for 4 months, and after that you wash it. Some stains will remain in it. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. So I'm going to ask you to be grateful to God for what he has done in your life. I want to hear a shout and a big clap. Hallelujah! 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 You were sick and God touched you. You were admitted in the hospital and God got you discharged. Is that not a good reason to clap to God? Above all, God has given you a new lease of life today, that you are alive and you can shout. Test your voice by shouting and see if your voice is there. Yeah! The songwriter says, I will praise my God for as long as I have breath. Those who are ungrateful have been through nothing. They are spoiled children. Now, we used one word. The word was resilience. We used it in the second definition, I believe, of the word setback. And, no, the second purpose of setbacks. We say setbacks give you an opportunity to build resilience and find new ways to approach your challenge. It's good to write notes. Because even me preaching, I have notes. You can't remember all. But don't worry, let's go on. The material is online, so you can reach out to it and make it your own. Say amen to God's glory. So what is resilience? To build resilience in you in the period of setback. Number one, a resilient person has the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties and setbacks. A resilient economy, when it's going down, has the capacity to recover and to bring prosperity to the nationals. A resilient marriage may go down and probably be scattered, but somehow the marriage will be reorganized and you will find the two loving each other more than before, and nothing else can separate them for the rest of their lives. So when you are resilient, you have a certain grace, which is the capacity to recover quickly. Can I prophesy to you that within this period, some of the things you lost, God is going to give you the capacity to recover very quickly. Very, very, very quickly. Number two, resilience is the ability of a person. Now, this is also a grace. To spring back to action. Spring back to action. I've always used the example of the amoeba because I like it. The amoeba is a unicellular creature. Human beings are made up of millions of cells. So are birds, so are fishes. But the amoeba is just one cell creature. The amoeba has an interesting lifestyle. During the rainy season, it reproduces a lot. One will reproduce into two, two into four, four to eight, eight to 16, 16 to 32, 32 to 64, 64 to 128. So in a short period, amoeba just multiplies itself. That is called geometric progression. Then during the dry season, when there's no water, amoeba does not die. It forms around itself a shell-like material called a cyst. And amoeba will remain in it till it senses that the next rains have come. Then the amoeba will break out of the shell and start reproducing again. You can't destroy the amoeba because it has the resilience to bounce back into action. May you be endowed look, these are the biggest prophecies you can get. May you be empowered by the grace of God to come back to action. And I'll use an example from here, that one of our young pastors lost the baby. Instead of going back to sleep and to ask God questions and to be angry with God, the questions were there. He decided to launch out into the woods and to pray till God responds. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. As I speak, he has two children. I don't know if number three is trotting, but I will hold my prophecy. You have the capacity to come back. You can't be saying, oh, when we used to work, we used to have huge per diems. When we went abroad and the nature of my job had so and so and colossal allowances, and when I was a young minister of the gospel, God bless me, but now I've lost all. Listen to me. The Bible says the righteous man, unless you're a sinner, the righteous man falleth seven times, but he bounces back to action. Unless you're a sinner. So one, resilience is the capacity to recover quickly. Two, resilience is the ability to spring back into action like the amoeba. There are some that when they are affected by adversity, they lose their motivation. They lose their drive for success. They lose their passion. And sometimes they go around with all kinds of stories, and when you're near them, they say, "Oh, Reverend, we've tried." Listen to me. If you want to succeed, gather around you people who are ready to be resilient. They have stubborn faith. They don't accept no for an answer. They don't get defeated in one area No. Have you forgotten that story of the talents, the parable that Jesus said that a rich man was traveling and he gave his servants one talent, two talents, and five talents. And the one with five talents doubled it and got ten, three, two talents, made it four. But the one with only one talent wrapped it in a napkin and he had energy to dig the ground. He didn't have energy to work with it, but to dig the ground and to bury the talent and to describe the boss as an austere and wicked man. Your description of your boss is not as important as your resilience. So go back for your motivation. Go back for your drive. Now you are not participating in the arrangement team. You don't come to church early. You used to come 3 hours earlier to play a role, to gather things for communion set, to do so. But since you had one bad experience, you have withdrawn. Apostle Paul was beaten to the point of death. The people looked at him and said, "Yes, he's dead." Then his disciples picked him up, put him in a basket, and over the wall to the next city he went. When he got there, Apostle Paul got up and said, "Ah, they think I'm dead." Apostle Paul, "Your body, wow. They think I'm dead. I'm alive." Then he didn't say, "Find the next hospital and let me go for a CT scan." He said, "Let us go and preach." So when he got there, he had a message already. You, when God gives you messages, you weep over it, you mourn over it, you grieve over it, and you say you have sleepless nights. Listen to me. I don't worry over sleepless nights. If I can't sleep, then I'll pray. If I've prayed and I'm exhausted, then I'll watch TV. If I've watched TV and I'm tired, I'll call somebody abroad whose time is favorable for talking. I'll be talking and sweet sleep will overtake me. But I don't sit down and worry about sleep and say, "In walk away." Your worry is suspending the sleep. So when you even take sleeping tablets, it still does not work. Because the way your mind is working is nullifying the power of the sleeping tablets. If you work well enough, when you lay down, you will sleep. Come on, put your hands together. If you have challenge about that, then you need therapy. See the doctor, talk to the psychologist. But the end of the matter is what I'm telling you. So one, resilience means capacity to recover. Two, ability to spring back to action. Three is the ability to adapt. adapt to change and keep going in the face of adversity. It's the ability to adapt to change and keep going in the face of adversity. If you had a job and you lost the job, then you need to change your ways and adapt to the current circumstances because you have no income, and to trust God for daily manna until He ushers you into what He wants to take you. You can't be eating like you were eating previously. You can't be visiting the same eateries. You may have to change your eatery. Yokegari is fine. Balanced diet with a little ripe plantain. You are finished. But if you want to eat large, then you'll be creating more holes in your pocket. Is somebody listening to me? If you don't have accommodation and you have to live with somebody, you have to change your ways, because that is not your house and that is not your resting place. So you don't go and issue instructions, even if you are the pastor of that person. You pledge quietly. What you are served is what you eat. You thank them and bless them like the prophet of God blessed that woman who created room. You just bless them. I was told of somebody who hosted some preachers from another West African country. Don't ask me the name of that country. You may be wrong when you guess. And he will lay this fat loaf of bread, huge loaf of bread, on the table, hoping that when they have finished eating, they will get some and continue. These two people with amazing appetite from the throne of God, Mataya Brosh Tokotua, would devour all the huge bread, and there was nothing. So when the people were buying bread, they knew they had to buy more than one loaf. These people went back and called them that they wanted to come back. You know the answer they were giving, because they didn't adjust their appetite to suit where they were. Church, when you move into a new job, you have to change some ways. You can't be doing things like the old place. You move into a new church, you adjust to fit into the church. If they're on a platform, get on the platform. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If what you were doing kept you in problems and God has given you an opportunity to come out, then embrace the new ways that God is introducing you to. Otherwise, the problems will remain for a long time. Ask the next person. Are you even on the church's platform? Ask the next person. Because you are not adjusting your way. You are still in the same old track. So one, resilience means to recover. Two, it means to spring back. Three, it means you have the ability to change or adapt to change and keep going in the face of adversity. If you were in a marriage and suddenly your husband kicked you out, sometimes it's the opposite. You have to
adjust for now until God restores you. There are some common traits of resilient people. There are some common traits. When we say somebody is resilient, we mean that person, there's some traits that they will find in the person. Number one is these kind of people accept the challenge and work at it. They realize where they are. It's a big challenge, but they accept the challenge and they start working at it. Number two, the trait you find in them is that they develop flexibility, ability to adapt to change. COVID has brought lots of changes in its wake. You don't want to wear the face mask if your country insists on it. Even if your country does not insist on it, at least look a little odd sometimes. You go to a football match and you are part of the audience and everybody is shouting, "Yay, Ronaldo, yeah!" The way they are shouting, the droplets of water coming out of them is spreading in the environment. Cover your nose. Don't show your nose. Adapt till the thing maybe passes away. Be flexible. There may be foods you don't like, but you have to eat to survive. Oh, as for me, I don't eat this. They will tolerate you for 1 month. After 1 month, say, "This man, when we prepare anything, he doesn't eat." Okay, let's leave him alone. Somebody says, "Me ye no fear no ukpongolo peni ye." So one, accept the challenge. Two, be flexible. Don't be stiff and rigid and unbending and stay right and everybody is wrong. Number three, that's the third trait you find in people who are resilient. They have a sense of purpose. And this sense of purpose does not diminish. David will be chased into the wilderness by Saul. Saul will use the entire state machinery, the military, to pursue after David. Every intelligence was on David. But David continued his purpose. 300 men gathered around him. They were distressed, they were discontented, and they were in debt. He started with people who didn't have anything. His sense of purpose did not diminish. And number four, quality you find in resilient people is that they have the ability of perseverance. They have the ability of perseverance. What does perseverance mean? It means persistence. Jesus spoke about a parable and he said there was an unjust judge that a widow had to face to seek redress concerning some matters. When she went, the unjust judge lived up to his name, turned her away. She went again, the man turned her away. And she went continually, Jesus said, until she wearied him. So the second meaning of perseverance, apart from persistence, is the ability to continue despite difficulties or setbacks.
When you look at the original word in the Greek, is proskaterio, which means the ability to continue in spite of failure, setbacks, difficulties, challenges. Number three, perseverance means staying power. Every attack may come, but they will pass away. Every challenge will come, but they will pass under the bridge. And when people look on the horizon, they will find you. You are there by the grace of God. You have a staying power. And this staying power comes from your ability to endure. As soldiers of Christ, the Bible says, endure hardness. Don't have that mind that the psychologists call virgin mentality. A virgin mentality is a mind that goes into a relationship and start dating and feels that there will be no ups and downs. It's a virgin mentality. When you get disappointed in that, those are the people who get admitted to the asylum, the mental institution. Don't have that virgin mentality for your Christian life. There's a devil and there are demons working with him. There are situations that may want to limit you, but you have to have staying power. You must be found in the business you are doing 20 years after, 40 years after. You will always find me preaching. I will not throw away my Bible. Oh, come on. I will always be preaching because this is what I was wired for. I remember when I got born again. It was an exam that I missed. I missed the exam center and found myself in another exam hall. I should have talked to the senior supervisor to have given me opportunity. But at that time, Ghana had limited streets. They were not broad enough. And there was traffic. By the time I moved from that center to my real center, the paper was over. So I came back very depressed. You see how God will use a setback. It was at that time that I gave my life to Christ and became born again. Then the following year, I went to write the exam. I said, oh, as for this with Christ, Jesus in my boat, there is success. Oh, Reverend Blank said, with Jesus in my boat, there is success. I went to write the exam, just had bare passes and some fails. I got disappointed, and for once I threw the Bible away. But I thought about it. I said, life without Christ is even more crisis. So I went to pick my Bible and dusted it. Since then, I haven't thrown away the Bible. I don't intend to throw it away. I will hold my Bible no matter what happens. That must be the kind of mentality you must have. Because some of you are there and say, hey, even when I was in the well, my boyfriends loved me. Oh, they paid for my hospital bill. Once in a while, they paid for holidays. Whether it was at Takwa or Ayika Adublu, they paid for it. They took me to some designer clothing shops. And I got the things I needed. But now that I'm a child of God, a believer, tongue-talking, spirit-filled, meditating on the word of God, disappointed me and did it in such a way that he damned me. I will not go to church again. I will not pray again. I will not study the word of God again. I will not even listen to anyone. I'm going back. You are not acting wisely. God is allowing the circumstances to build a character of resilience in your life.
I don't know how God created these two kinds of chicken. The local Ghanaian chicken and the poultry bred chicken. The poultry bred chicken, when they are born, their room is sanitized almost every time. They need light to create warmth. So when they are cold, they gather around the light. They need special kind of water and feed to grow. But thank God for our locally bred. They may even drink from the gutter and survive. Germs do not affect them. Are you getting what I'm saying? They just need their mother's feathers to take some warmth. Otherwise, they go their own way. Are you hearing me? They don't need any sanitization. They don't need all kinds of... No, they survive because they have resilience in their character. Like I walk on Ogbono, you know, I'm in your stack. Oh, Masuka Tayakaya. Kevinia Smoma preacher, meaning of you. The Bible says, as soldiers of the cross, endure hardness. I didn't hear. Can I hear an amen? Oh, I didn't hear an amen. I said, as soldiers of the cross, do what? Endure hardness. You are a soldier of the cross. So tough times will come. But tough times don't last. The writer says, but tough people do. So you have to be very strong. Not like a poultry chicken. Like a locally bred chicken. Eating earthworms. I mean, you're not fiana ye kakalika. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. In Galatians 5:1, the Bible says, stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. And do not be entangled again in any yoke of bondage. In other words, don't backslide. Backsliding is not an option. Don't live a life that you are so offended with church that somebody must chase you and chase you. Don't do that. You may be unhappy. It's your right. But don't backslide. Tell the next person, don't backslide. Don't be so frustrated that your needs are not being met early. So you have gone for somebody who is more than God. Whatever source which is other than God would dry up. The only source that does not dry up is God. Don't put somebody in trouble, because if you make him your source, God will dry his resources. Don't put anybody in trouble. Let the blessings come. Because he said, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men will give to your bosom. But they are just channels. They are not God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Your next problem should drive you to the word of God. Your next problem should take you to the internet, where you are reading about what you are going through and listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your next problem should take you to the woods, where you stand like that and tilt at an anger. And maya tua karabakia ibia selerebekia ya muakataya bres takataya. You don't bow to the devil. You don't allow circumstances to bully you. You don't act as if you are spent force and you are finishing life. When we are talking that this year is a year of continuous divine victory, we are not saying there will be no setbacks. But we are saying that you have a certain capacity to bounce back to action. They took away your land. I prophesy you will get 2 or 4 more plots. If it was your house, get ready for a bigger mansion. Is somebody hearing me? If you lost your job for one reason or the other, may the Lord restore you. The Bible says in Joel, fear not, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things, not the previous things, not the commonplace things, not the ordinary things. The Lord will do what? Great things. Don't be afraid even when you retire. If I, Pastor, and I didn't have money, walk to church. Pastor, I will learn in Kenya. Igbana wa yentri wa bon yentri yentri. I'm not asking you to be there. And I'm not asking you to curse it. I'm saying that learn the skills to overcome the setback that you're experiencing in your relationship. Some people don't want to see a counselor. So the problems multiply until it's beyond management. I'm bringing my message to a close. Before I end, I want to cite the example of a man who found himself arrested by the Nazis in Germany and was put in those concentration camps. The concentration camps were like the ghettos. Human beings were packed into an indecent environment. His name is Dr. Viktor Frankl. When he was taken there, he was taken along with his wife, his mother and father, virtually the whole family. The wife was pregnant and they forced her to abort. Later on, the wife died. The father died, the mother died. Then in prison, he decided to write a book because he was by training a psychiatrist and a psychologist. So even though they were being subjected to dehumanizing treatment and being treated like nothing and oppressed and beaten and put into all kinds of chambers to be destroyed, he started from the cells he was and the concentration camp, imagining himself back into the lecture room. So Viktor Frankl would close his eyes and imagine himself back into the lecture room with students listening to him while he delivers a lecture based on some of the experiences he had. The power of your imagination is a very strong thing. And when you allow setbacks to make them numb, you are destroying yourself. Viktor Frankl started writing a book on pieces of paper that was provided for in the cells. And by the time he finished, he had put together a comprehensive book. After his release from the Nazi concentration camp, he was restored back to teaching appointment to his profession that he loved. Within a short period, he wrote a second book and he titled it Man's Search for Meaning. In that book, he concludes, listen to what he says. He says, finding purpose in life and immersing yourself into it will help you overcome the challenges and setbacks of life. I think you should be clapping. This is not a pastor. This is not a preacher. While he was in prison, he kept his mind on the reason why God created him. Kept his mind on purpose. Apostle Paul was arrested and they were thrown into jail. Paul and Silas, they were in the dungeon. It was cold, chained, but at midnight they remembered the purpose. And for them, that purpose for that moment was to pray and to praise their God. So they started praying while they were in chains. You are free, and you say you can pray. When they finished praying, then they started praising God. And the Bible says supernaturally, God broke into the prison, shook the foundation of the problem, broke the chains from them, and the prison gates opened on their own accord. The jailer was asleep, but when he woke up, he nearly committed suicide because he thought Paul and Silas had escaped and that he would be put to trial. But Paul stood there with another opportunity to preach. He says, don't take your life, for we haven't gone. We are here. We are bold. God has opened the gate, but we are ready to face anything. He says, today, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household, and you'll be saved. Look at the situation in which the man was, and look at how he was preaching. Some of you have stopped preaching. When we say evangelism, you don't care. You don't come. The Bible says, mourn with them that mourn and rejoice with them that rejoice. When we say we are mourning somebody, you don't come. If there are any lessons to be learned from Dr. Viktor Frankl, then it's that lesson where you use your creative imagination to formulate a picture for yourself based on the purpose of God in your life. I have finished my message. Oh, I thought the clap would be twice as loud as this. And I thought somebody for free, thank you for that shout. I thought somebody for free will shout a big hallelujah, a big glory to God, a big amen to God's glory. Listen to me. This morning, before we take the communion, those watching us online, pick your anointing oil. Because this morning you'll be anointed for resilience. Shout amen, shout amen. You'll be anointed with a stubborn faith to get back. Some of you who have exams to rewrite, you will go back and rewrite it. The Bible said, God told Abraham, I will take you from this land into another land, but I'll bring you back into this same land after some time so that you will possess the land. Listen to me. You were momentarily taken out of the land, but God is prophetically telling you, go back and possess the land. Go back and possess your academic career. Go back and possess your health. Go back and possess your income. I like this scripture. He said, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. God is not asking us to be resilient over unnecessary things. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, that's what I quoted from. Number one, he said, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. The word prove there means approve. See, because before you clear anything from the port, they have to approve and be sure that the documents you are carrying, you are the right person. Then after you have made that approval, hold fast, be resilient. Develop a staying power. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast to that which you have.
Now, if the thing is not good, and it's a relationship, and you're not married to the person, then you leave it. If it's not good, it's not good. No matter how you plaster it, how you patch it, how you support it and prop it, it is not good. I'm not asking the married to divorce. I'm talking to unmarried people.